Well, our friends, I think it's fair to say that we are living in an age that is fascinated by what I would call icons. Now, when I mention icons, I'm not thinking about religious pictures that are painted on wood, and you'll usually find them in Orthodox churches such as the Greek Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox. I'm thinking of icons in the sense of personalities who are held up before us as examples to follow. I can think of people from the pop music world, the world of sport, the world of religion, or even the world of royalty. And these people are held up to us as an icon, as someone to follow. You can think of people like Sir Cliff Richard, Sir Bobby Charlton, Mother Teresa, Princess Diana. They've all been promoted as examples, as icons to be looked up to. And you know, in their life, those people have or had many fine human qualities. But I would say this, that they do not compare to someone that I believe is a true icon to look up to. Someone who is not promoted in that sense by either the television or the tabloids, but rather by the Word of God. I want to speak tonight about someone that, if you're looking for an icon to look up to, an icon to adopt and to try to follow, apart, of course, from the Lord himself, this is someone that I think you would do well to look to. I'm speaking, of course, of Caleb, one that we read about tonight. I spent some time studying what the scriptures would tell us about this man, and I want to share to you the things that I have discovered about him. The first thing I would say about Caleb was that he was a man of confidence. Now, on what evidence do I make this claim? Well, I want to bring to you what I would call the signs of confidence. And the first sign, I believe, is this. He accepted the call. There had been a lapse of about 14 months from the time that the Israelites had come out of the land of Egypt. They were now on the borders of the promised land, and Moses had received instructions from the Lord as to what their next move was to be. We read that in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So men of high rank were chosen from each tribe, and we learn that Caleb was the representative of the tribe of Judah. And there is no mention anywhere of any of those who were selected raising any objections or backing out of the choice that had been made. And in verse 21 we read, So they went up and searched the land. So they all displayed an air of confidence, including, of course, Caleb. So the first sign that Caleb was a man of confidence was that he accepted the call. The second sign of Caleb's confidence was this. He approached the challenge. Having agreed to go, he didn't suffer from second thoughts or cold feet. He was given his marching orders and off he went. He was venturing into the unknown, and he knew that immediately he was going to be faced with the mountain. For we read in verse 17, And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain. So Caleb knew right at the outset that this was going to be no afternoon stroll, no little picnic. He was going to be like some of the men I saw this morning, get the boots on and get ready to tackle the mountain. He didn't back off, he didn't back away from the challenge that was put before him. So I believe that this fact that he approached the challenge is the second sign that he was a man of confidence. The third sign of Caleb's confidence was this, that he assessed the chances. It's interesting to note the account of their spying mission as we read it in verses 22 and 23, and in particular the order of events that are recounted. It says they encountered the children of Anak, and we learn from verse 33 that these were giants. And they encountered these giants before they came to the brook of Eshcol, and that's where they culled the famous cluster of grapes, and it took two men to carry this cluster upon a staff. Having been to the Holy Land, one of the most popular souvenirs that you can bring home is like a copper etching plate of the men carrying the big cluster of grapes. But they encountered the giants before they came to where these beautiful grapes were. So, if you like, the bad news preceded the good news, but it didn't deter the men from going on to fulfill the mission that they had been given. And their mission was to assess the chances of successfully conquering the land. So, three signs of confidence that Caleb was himself a man of confidence. But you might say, and quite rightly, well, Caleb's no different to all the other spies up to this point. After all of them accepted the call, all of them accepted the challenge, all of them assessed the chances. But there is a fourth sign of confidence, and that was demonstrated by Caleb, but it would eventually prove to be a stumbling block for no less than 10 of his spying companions. Yes, Caleb accepted the call, he approached the challenge, he assessed the chances, but he also approved the campaign. They come back, and the majority were giving their report. It began with good news, but now it's majoring heavily upon bad news. And things don't look too good. And Caleb interrupts, and he lays his cards very firmly on the table. In verse 30, he says, "Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, that interruption, far from smoothing over things, it only galvanized the opposition even more, as we read in the verses that follow. And we learn that only Joshua was prepared to stand alongside of Caleb. When it came to assessing the information that had been gleaned during the spying trip, only Caleb, followed eventually by Joshua, was unreservedly prepared to approve the campaign to go up and to possess the land. So here we have four signs that Caleb was a man of confidence. Now the question is, why was Caleb confident about a successful campaign when the vast majority of his companions held exactly the opposite viewpoint? Well, I think to understand that, we need to understand the source of his confidence. You see, in that majority report of his colleagues, they had reported and they had majored on the size of the inhabitants, their physical size, their numerical size. In fact, we learned later that they felt like grasshoppers compared to these giants. They had also detailed how well fortified the cities were that they were going to be confronted with. So, humanly speaking, the cause did seem hopeless. So why then was it that Caleb held a different viewpoint from the majority, from the 10 who said, basically, forget it? Well, I think it was because he had a source of confidence that they had either overlooked or forgotten about. You see, the source of Caleb's confidence, it was not in the arm of flesh. It was rooted firmly in the promises of God. You see, this was the land that had been promised to Abram in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. And that promise had been repeated time and time again on many occasions during the nation's history. And what do we read in chapter 13, verse 2? Listen again. "Send down men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Caleb was resting on the promise of God. That was the source of his confidence. Now the question tonight is God calling you to serve him? Just as Moses, God's servant, separated and he sent forth those 12 men in those days, so today, God's representative on earth, God's vicar, and he's not a man living in Rome, I can tell you. God's vicar on earth today is God the Holy Spirit. He is separating and he is sending forth men and women to serve him. It may well be to serve him far off on a mission field, but just as likely it is to serve him in a local church situation. You see, every church that is faithfully trying to fulfill the Great Commission needs its complement of office bearers, organization leaders, Sunday school teachers, prayer warriors, musicians, members. And God, the Holy Spirit, calls people to these places, to these positions. I want to testify that Christian work today is difficult. You'll feel like you're climbing a mountain. You'll probably assess that the chances of success are nil because the opposition seems so huge. You'll be tempted to throw the towel in or not even get into the ring in the first instance. But all I would say to you is this: do not let these things deter you. Be like Caleb. Don't rely upon the arm of flesh, for I'll tell you that will certainly fail you. But let your source of confidence be grounded in the words and the promises of God. Let me remind you of some of those promises. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Think again of Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And take to heart again the promise of Christ in Matthew 16. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me declare here tonight, the Great Commission will be successfully completed. Hordes and heights of opposition will not frustrate it. The Master's plan will be fulfilled. And ordinary men and women who are prepared to emulate the measure of Caleb's confidence and to rely assuredly on the source of Caleb's confidence will discover, I believe, joy unspeakable through service in the ranks of God's good and faithful servants. Caleb, as a man of confidence, he pictures in so many ways the Savior himself, the one who in time and in eternity past he accepted the call, he approached the challenge, he assessed the chances, and who not only approved the campaign, but he accomplished the campaign to save his people from their sins. So I believe with all my heart that Caleb was a man of confidence. But in addition to that, Caleb was also a man of commitment. Now, to commit oneself can have various shades of meaning, and I have in mind here the meaning of to pledge oneself or to obligate oneself to someone or something. And so I want to look, first of all, at the record of commitment. Listen again to Caleb as he speaks to Joshua in the presence of the children of Judah. Joshua 14:7-8. Caleb says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So as the children of Israel stood, as it were, on the threshold of the promised land, Caleb committed himself without reservation to serve his God wholly. Even when all around him people were shaking in their sandals because of this majority report about the gigantic people and the fortifications, I believe that there was only one thought that consumed Caleb. I believe in his mind he was saying, is there not a cause? He certainly believed that there was a cause, and he was wholly committed to it. And you know, some 400 years later, I wonder, did David, the young shepherd boy, I wonder, did he have Caleb in mind when he committed himself to confronting another giant who was making the heart of the people melt? As David was confronted by Goliath, he said, is there not a cause? He believed there was, and he committed himself to tackling it. The record of Caleb's commitment begins with a setback. He had given his advice, and what happened to it? Well, it was ignored. He and Joshua, they were overruled. And what was the result? The people wandered and wasted 38 years in the wilderness. Well, did Caleb renege on his commitment? Absolutely not. Verse 10 of Joshua 14 continues the record of his commitment. We read, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." His initial commitment rested upon God's promise that he would give unto the children of Israel the land of Canaan. His continuing commitment again rested on God's promise, and that was given after the setback when his advice was ignored. Verse 9 of Joshua 14. "And Moses sware on that day," that was the day after Caleb had been rejected, "saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." And here we are, 45 years down the line, and God has fulfilled his promise. And Caleb is the proud possessor of a record of unblemished commitment. Now, is Caleb ready to retire? Is he about to mothball his commitment? No, look at verse 12 of Joshua 14. What does he say? He says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." You see, he's still relying on God's promises. "For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Well, did this prove to be a mountain too far for Caleb? Joshua 15, verse 13 says this, "And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak." God faithfully fulfilled every promise to Caleb. Caleb's commitment, it began at the foot of one mountain, and 45 years later, it was still as vibrant at the summit of another mountain. Caleb was what I would call a healthy example of stickability. He didn't suffer from what I might describe as Teflonitis. Teflon, the non-stick, nothing would stick. Well, he stuck at it. In fact, the hymn, "Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him." So that could have been written by Caleb. Friends, tonight, how is your commitment to the Lord and his cause? Can I say this? Before commitment, there must be conversion. I've heard so much over the years about people who have made a commitment. My friends, making a commitment is not conversion. You need to be born again from above. And Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He was talking about a life that had been transformed on the road to Damascus when he was born again. And having been born again, he then made that commitment to trust the Lord all the way. Commitment will never save anybody. You need to be converted. The Lord said, "Except ye be converted, ye shall all likewise perish." So friends, tonight, are you converted? And if you are converted, are you committed? Maybe you have suffered setbacks in your Christian life. You could see an opportunity to move forward, but sadly others didn't see it that way. And yet you were sure in your own mind that this was what God wanted the people to do. How have you reacted to that? Have you run away from the thing, or have you remained? Have you stayed in there? Remember Caleb and his commitment. The people turned down his recommendation, but he didn't run away. He remained committed. And perhaps you have run a good race and you've fought a good fight, and you're thinking to yourself, "Well, it's time to call it a day. It's time to leave it to these young ones." I've heard that from some elderly saints down the years. Well, all I would say is remember Caleb. Look at him. He's 85. He didn't ask for a pensioner's cottage overlooking the Mediterranean. He still had a passionate commitment to the Lord and his cause. It's interesting to look at the meaning of the word Caleb. It means all heart, hearty. And certainly Caleb lived up to his name. If you tonight are saved and you're a Christian, are you living up to that name? Paul instructed the Christians of Colossae with these words, and this is what he said. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. He could have sort of said, do it Calebly, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Caleb was a man of commitment, committed to finish the job. And you know, again, he pictures perfectly the Savior himself. As the Savior stood at the foot of Mount Calvary, carrying his cross, he was fully committed to redeeming those who were walled in by sin and dwarfed by the devil. But he didn't stop with the victory at Calvary. From the summit of a second mountain, the Mount of Olives, he ascended to begin a new work. And it's a great high priestly work. And we read about it in Jude 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That speaks of the full commitment of Christ. Caleb was a man of confidence. The signs of his confidence, he accepted the call. He approached the challenge. He assessed the chances. He approved the campaign. The source of his confidence, the promises of God. Caleb was a man of commitment. The records confirm, and more importantly, God confirms, that Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. King David, as he spoke to the people of the temple that they and Solomon would build, he asked this question in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? So as we come to a close, I simply ask tonight, are you willing to consecrate your service this day unto the Lord? The New Testament has a God-ordained pattern of how local churches operate. Is there any way that you can throw your lot in, throw your weight in, and help out? It shouldn't all be left to the small number. Is God asking you, calling you to practically help in some way? Remember Caleb. He was ready to tackle the mountain even at 85 years of age. I want to leave you with a closing thought. The reward of commitment. At the end of the campaign, Caleb possessed the city of Hebron. I had the privilege of going to Hebron on my first visit to the Holy Land. Sadly, we weren't able to visit the second time because of the problems that are in the Holy Land. It's mostly in an Arab quarter. But we read in verse 13 of Joshua 15 that he received the city of Hebron as an inheritance. Hebron means fellowship. So the reward for Caleb's commitment, the reward for his confidence, was fellowship. We live in a world of great disappointments. But there is nothing sweeter or more satisfying, I believe, than the sweetness of fellowship between the covenant-keeping God and his confident, committed convert. That was Caleb's experience. Fellowship with the one true God is the sweetest thing that you can enjoy in this world. And in my next newsletter, I'm quoting something from a Christian of times past, and he said this, "Sow holiness, reap happiness." If you want to know the secret to a happy Christian life, soul holiness. Because the one thing that interrupts fellowship between the convert and his God is sin. It breaks fellowship. It brings sadness. It weakens. Soul holiness, reap happiness, and you will be in sweet fellowship. But you need to be committed. You need to be confident. And Caleb's experience of fellowship, it is a picture of the sweetness of the fellowship that the Savior and his father enjoyed during his life here on earth. In John 8:29, the Lord said this, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." And the promise of the Lord to each convert is, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So keep walking in holiness. It will ensure unbroken fellowship. King David fell sadly into sin. He committed some terrible sins. And then, broken by his sin, he had kept quiet for over a year. He eventually confessed it. And he prayed to the Lord, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't pray for salvation to be restored. He hadn't lost it. But the joy had gone because of sin. So friends, walk holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y as well as H-O-L-Y before the Lord. And you will be rewarded with sweet fellowship. In a world that will cast up to you icons of all sorts, I think Caleb is a good icon to look to and to seek to follow after. Because he himself simply mirrored the Savior who would eventually come to redeem us. May God bless this word to each heart, for we ask it in Jesus' name.